Hostages held in Gaza scheduled for this hour. Gil Dickman has two relatives who are in captivity. He's been told they are not among this first group expected to be freed.
Last 50 days were an emotional roller coaster, really. But the last few hours is just, it's much, much harder.
Badly needed humanitarian aid is also heading into Gaza. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
We're already seeing trucks carrying fuel and humanitarian aid roll into Gaza. That would include water and medicine, and importantly, fuel, which has been cut off since the beginning of the war nearly 50 days ago. The fuel will go to hospitals and for water and sewage treatment. But Israel fears that some of it will wind up in the hands of Hamas.
So far, a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is holding. CBS News Special Report, I'm Wendy Gillette.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Authorities in Marinette are reopening a 37-year-old cold case. The sheriff's department is asking for any new leads in the murder of David Hunter. Investigators say he was killed at a makeshift camp in the woods near Niagara in 1987. The sheriff's office is not saying why it's reopening the case now. Disability-related complaints with the Federal Department of Transportation are on the rise this year. Kendra Davenport of Easter Seals says airlines can't keep putting off becoming more accessible.
The baby boomers are aging rapidly. More and more of us will be disabled. This is no longer an issue that's pushed off to the corner of the desk. This is front and center.
Advocates want Congress to legislate improvements by 2026. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. There's a little more than 31 days between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and Black Friday is the official start to the holiday shopping season. The National Retail Federation is predicting most of you will spend an average $800 on gifts, decorations, and more, which is up $50 from last year. Retail experts also say many shoppers are looking for the best deals and are planning to compare prices between Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, and Cyber Monday, trying to wrap up gift buying early in the season. It's actually not something new. The organizers of the Macy's Parade considered their event the start to the holiday season, and in the early years called it the Macy's Christmas Parade to encourage shopping right after it. One more seasonal tie-in, the song called One Horse Open Sleigh, was meant for Thanksgiving. It instead became so popular during holiday shopping, it had to be renamed Jingle Bells. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 31 this afternoon under mainly clear skies. Winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. 21 tonight, cloudy. High of 34 tomorrow. About an inch of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 18 degrees.
The Green Bay Packers call Lambeau Field home, but did you know the stadium has a history all its own? It started with where to build it. Residents on both sides of the city wanted it. Officials argued there had to be room for growth. Eventually, farmland was purchased, but in Ashwaubenon. The bargaining continued, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Green Bay City Stadium became a reality the following year and was renamed in honor of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau in 1965. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Ball.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. And I'm so happy to have my dear brother, James Causey, award-winning writer and author of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who's, look, man, I remember you when, you know, my hair used to be black.
We go way back around.
Yeah, man, we do, man. And now there's gray in your beard.
Yeah, well, it's called living. It's called living in our city.
Yeah, man. Welcome to the radio show and my listening audience. Get to know a little bit about you. Let's tell a little bit about who James Causey is.
Yeah, James Causey. Who am I? I'm a journalist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. I'm a
award-winning journalist.
Come on. You know, if you've been in this business long enough, you should have won several awards, right? Because the media industry, as you know, is tough. It's tough to, and it's especially tough being a black journalist in a city that we love and cover, because we have to tell harsh truths sometimes, and right. We also have to educate. So that's what I try to do every day when I go into work, when I craft my stories. I'm a father, I'm a husband. I try to be in a community as much as possible, but I also take mental breaks, because we all need to do that as well. But I strive to want to see my community do better.
With your talents, man, you could go anywhere and do the job. Why are you still in Milwaukee?
That's a good question. but I'm here because this is my hometown, and I want to see it do well, just like you do. And you know, like you said, we have these talks before.
Yeah, right.
You're a lifer. You constantly say you're not going any place, and I thought about leaving. I've lived in other cities. I've lived in Boston. I lived in New York. I lived in other cities.
Right.
And I you know, this is my home though, and I want to see it do well.
Let me ask you, man. For people who don't really know the critical things that occur with young people and their development in our city and in other urban cities that weren't there when you and I were young. Tell us a little bit about some of the changes that have happened since you were a child, and things that young people today face that you and I didn't when we were young.
Well, you know, let's just talk about education, for instance. You know, our kids go through metal detectors. Our kids are constantly subjected to violence. They see it on a daily basis, even just going to school, getting to school, getting out of, you know, just getting up to get to school is a challenge for a lot of young people because they see things that a lot of kids in more affluent communities don't have to come across. You know, the reckless driving, the crime, the a lot of these things. Literacy is a huge issue in our community. But we also, I think we have to wrap our arms around our kids and love them more. I just don't think we have love for our young people like we should. And I'm not just talking about us. I'm talking about everyone. You know, we're quick to criticize and talk about how young people aren't doing this and young people aren't doing that. Like we were not young.
Right.
But if we took the time to really try to understand our youth and get to understand them and know them and listen to them and incorporate some of their ideas into some of the things that we are trying to fix, I think we could go a lot further. But this is what typically happens. Like, let me give you an example. I was recently at a panel discussion where we had a bunch of young people talking about some of the obstacles that they face. It was like at the Helen Bader, had like four young people on a dais speaking. And the young people said, well, you know, we don't want to see more cops in schools. We would like more mental health experts. We would like more counselors. We would like more peer mediation and things like that. But, you know,
what that falls on deaf ears.
Yeah. And, you know, we listen, we applaud, we say, oh, they're so articulate. We said, man, these are really good kids. But then we said, no, we're not going to give you that. We're going to add more officers to your school. We're going to give you this instead of what you really asked for. And that has happened far too many times. And then we wonder why these ideas that adults come up with never work because we listen to the kids, but we never incorporate their ideas. You know, kids know what they need. They know what they need. We just have to really listen and try to incorporate those ideas.
You know, James, when, you know, and I always say this, every time I get a chance to talk with a group of young children, I always tell them raise their hands if they know somebody who's been shot or who's been killed. And if somebody would have asked you and your generation, the percentage of kids raising their hand would have been a lot less than the 80 to 90% that we see today.
Oh, of course.
If they would have asked that question to my generation, if one person would have raised their hands. So when you talk about the crime that they're faced with, we're not talking about pickpocket crimes.
No.
We're not talking about those. We're talking about people being slaughtered. We're talking about murders. We're talking about blood running in the street.
Exactly. And we're numb to it. We're numb to it. There was
as a society.
As a society, of course.
Right.
We're numb to it. And why isn't that? That should raise awareness to everything, to our mental state, to our mental health, to what our kids see. You know, we like to say our kids and adults are resilient. But how resilient do you have to be when you see that's on a constant basis and it doesn't seem like it affects you? I don't know if that's called being resilient. I think that's just being numb to an issue that you can't get out of.
So you can, on the one hand, talk about post-traumatic stress disorder that military veterans engaged in and the impact that they know it has on those men and women who fight in these battles.
Right.
And then not agree and say that that also impacts children even more so because they're in war zones in their communities where more people are killed in their community than even in theaters of war.
Of course. But think about this, Earl. I think we've come a long ways on how we talk about mental health. It used to be something like nobody wanted to be considered crazy. You know, that was one of those words that we used to toss out there all the time. We don't use terms like that as much now. And everyone talks about mental health. Police talk about mental health. Young people talk about mental health. Adults talk about mental health. But we talk about it, but I'm not really seeing the action behind it of what we really need. You know, why is it in some neighborhoods we have more liquor stores than anything else? You know, when I drive to work, you know, and it's like a 2 mile drive or 2.5 mile drive, there's like about 20 establishments or 25 establishments where I could stop in and get alcohol. That's a problem to me. That's a problem. You know, so, you know, I think this is done on, you know, I've been getting into more conspiracy theories type of things. And I think this is a numbing of our society, you know, give them alcohol to keep them numb to all the things around them instead of really trying to fix them and bring them up. You know, I that's the way I'm starting to look at things now. And it's completely changing my sense of where we are.
So let's just for a moment pause and look at that issue with the liquor stores and the bars in certain radiuses in our neighborhoods and in our communities.
Most of them that we don't own.
That is something that can be controlled, and it is on the older people.
Yes.
Who look like you and me.
Yes.
Who allow that to take place.
Yes.
That's something that should be controlled.
Of course.
Right?
Of course.
But you don't have people who are politically savvy enough in the communities and in the neighborhoods, because their struggle is to survive on a daily basis. They're not as politically savvy as people are in many other areas, because we have one of the youngest populations, African-American populations in the nation.
One of the youngest, one of the poorest.
Right.
One of the populations that has the widest educational gaps,
right.
Widest wealth gaps. I mean, you know, think about this, Earl. You know, we're talking about something really deep here in mental health, but we have a lot of people who are just in survival mode. Everything is high. Gas is high. Food is high. Rent is high. Everything can't be high at the same time. And poor people are trying to navigate and trying to live and survive when everything is high. Everything is high except the salaries. The salaries aren't going up.
So James, here's what they say. Well, it's because of Joe Biden that everything is high, right? Okay. It doesn't matter whether it's a Democrat or a Republican when it comes to these, the fact that people who live in these pockets in this country cannot survive. They cannot move forward because, you know, Democrats aren't going to be able to change the pay structure for people who are on the lowest rung. Democrats alone aren't going to be able to change the things that need to be changed in the educational system, because some of these things, James, are institutional.
Well, some of the things could be changed. We could change the minimum wage and raise it.
Right. But both Democrats and Republicans should make that happen.
Well, that should be just a common sense approach. You know, it's been 735 for the last 20 years or so.
Hold on, man. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. I'm so glad to have my friend and my brother, editorial writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, James Causey, in the studio. You can join us at 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches. Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer, or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. To the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Let's go to Jerry from Viola. Good morning to you, Jerry. You say what? Thank you for calling.
Well, thanks for having me. I just want to say I appreciate both of you. If we were going to talk about rolling back, maybe we should roll back to the way taxes were before Reagan, where if you made over $5 million as a business owner, you paid 90%. Anything above $5 million, you paid 90%. That would take care. So what would happen if you had to pay 90% of your income to the government? You would pay your employees more. You would make better working conditions, nicer factories. That would take care of a lot of stuff. So if you're talking about rolling back, let's roll back to the way it was. It would also get rid of the national debt. So, which there was no national debt before Reagan. So that's what I got.
Well, and that's plenty. And so thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond at all to Jerry?
He's absolutely right. At the same time, our leaders and the corporate elite and the richest people have changed the economy over the last 50 years to be able to keep more of the benefits. They've changed the tax code to pay less and less. And there's a fact, people can look it up. Every Republican majority, when they have it, the federal level or the state level, tries to give them even more. When the amount they pay back for their gains is lower than it's been any time in over 100 years, and when they are doing better than any time in that period. And the caller is absolutely right that when the tax rate was higher, and it was never like when you had a marginal rate of, I think it was 80%, there were deductions. So folks weren't paying 80%. Right. But the point is that was just the flat amount. That was the time of greatest American growth and the creation of the great American middle class. It's when we did the interstate highway system, when we had a massive building program for things like all sorts of schools and buildings, a lot of buildings that you still see, made massive investments in people and because we had the resources. So the caller is absolutely right. The national debt, here's the way to think about it, because conservatives doing the bidding, usually of the richest among us, want to argue it's like a household budget. They just want to do that as a rationalization not to make investments, say, in public education, right, or in healthcare or childcare. They actually want us just to give them massive tax cuts. They don't actually care about the deficit. But it's okay to run a deficit and carry a debt if you're making investments that give us more prosperity. That's why families take out mortgages. It's why they take out student loans, though those are way too high because of the public disinvestment in public education. And so we need to make a distinction with those things. Doing it for, you know, things such as tax cuts for people, right, which is what Donald Trump did. He ran up the national debt to give massive tax cuts to corporations. biggest corporate tax cut in American history. That is a terrible idea, and it shows that the current Republican Party does not care at all about the national debt. It just wants to give more to those who are doing all as well as possible and leave the rest of us on our own.
It's that kind of ignorance, Dr. Craig, that we're dealing with. And I don't know, as a society, that kind of illness, a guy who waits on the line all of that time, Dr. Craig, to say something as ignorant as that. Our nation is in a tough spot. And so, you know, it doesn't help that people who are in leadership positions, you know, they kind of support foolishness like that.
That's right. The norms have been destroyed by the folks that man is listening to. I don't know the man. Maybe he has virtues in other areas of his life. Maybe he's a very good father or uncle. I don't know, or neighbor. But there, he is following people who make this, like Donald Trump makes rudeness a virtue. And for somehow that makes people feel kind of good, like a system they're mad at is being challenged. It doesn't actually do anything about making the system better for average people. And so I blame more the leaders. And you turn to Fox News, some of the hosts like Jesse Waters, there's just this kind of caustic snark.
Yes.
That is just corrosive. And so I don't know the man, but I know who is making people like him. Don't know why he did it.
So
people like him think that this is somehow some contribution, and of course he wouldn't even provide his name, which is part.
So Dr. Craig, you mentioned Jesse Waters. I'm a guy who watches Fox News, and you know that, and I watch it for a reason. And you go back to the guys that they had in that seat at that time slot before they brought in a guy like Jesse Waters, who is basically just ignorant. And those guys, at least, what was the guy's name before Tucker Carlson? Bill O'Reilly. He at least had some aptitude, but they decided to put a guy like Jesse Waters in there for a reason, right?
Yeah, I guess there's no chance of independence on anything. There's no chance of Jesse Waters texting the president like Sean Hannity did to
right.
call off the insurrection. Now, Sean Hannity then went and defended it. I don't want to give him too much credit, but at least he knew better in terms of, you know, when it was happening. And so Jesse Waters is one of those guys who is so uninformed and ignorant that he thinks he's smart.
I know.
He has this Cheshire Cat smile, like he said
yes.
something really penetrating.
Yes.
And you're like, dude, you're an idiot.
But Dr. Craig, they admired.
And he said an awful thing about everyone in Gaza. He said that everyone in Gaza was responsible. Over half are children, by the way.
Yeah, but Dr. Craig,
18,
they know he's.
And that they all should be basically killed.
Yeah, but they
are
know.
Liable to be killed or risk because of what one terrorist group Hamas.
But Dr. Craig, they know
control of Gaza City.
They know who he is, and yet they put him there, right? They know his limitations, and they put him there in that time slot. And people are listening. We'll be right back. All of you on the phone lines, hang on. I promise you we'll get to all of you after we come back. Dr. Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Hang on, all of you guys. We'll be right back.
You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Racine County leaders say they're pleased with the deal to sell about 2 square miles of Mount Pleasant's Wisconsin Innovation Park to Microsoft. They tell the Journal Sentinel it will put the business park built for Foxconn on firm financial footing. Microsoft is buying $100 million in land. It would pay enough taxes over the years to cover the cost of the tax district's debt. A Reedsburg man wanted for the death of his pregnant girlfriend is arrested in Missouri. Authorities say they caught Jose Dominguez Garcia in a vehicle with stolen plates early yesterday morning. He'd been on the run since about the same time Rosalie Rodriguez's body was found in a suitcase near Eau Claire in 2020. Dominguez Garcia is charged with first-degree murder, murder of an unborn child, and hiding a corpse. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Barr. A new survey is revealing some interesting things about the food you may be sharing this Thanksgiving holiday weekend, including the calories you may consume. A new Harris poll showing the majority of Americans say there's almost turkey, cranberries, and pumpkin pie as a guarantee. But the survey also reveals 65% of those responding don't even like some of these holiday dishes, yet eat it because of the tradition. The poll also indicates a surprising number of people say they actually prefer eating the leftovers during the weekend rather than the actual holiday meal. One result, which may not be surprising, the average number of calories consumed during your holiday dinner. It's around 4,500, about twice the calories suggested by health experts on any other day. For the Civic Media Radio Network, I'm Terry Barr.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
The Packers beat the Lions on Thanksgiving Day. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers with a 29-22 win over the Lions. Detroit now 0-7 at home here on Thanksgiving Day. The game starting off with a deep pass from Jordan Love to Christian Watson for 53 yards, setting up the Packers' first touchdown.
Something we put in this week that, you know, we thought was going to work, and we were confident in it, and came out, you know, obviously put the ball up there, and Christian went up there and made a great catch.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said he almost canceled that play.
It was one of those deals. Matter of fact, I almost changed that first play call. I was kind of mulling it over quite a bit, and I texted Jordan this morning and told him I was going to change it to something else, and he said he wanted this call, so I said okay.
I asked Watson if he knew that play was almost canceled. Instead, he says he has to take the pressure off his quarterback.
So, you know, when stuff, you know, isn't going our way as a team and it's all getting thrown on Jordan, you know, I'm trying to, you know, find ways to, you know, take that off of him.
With sports from Ford Field in Detroit, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
31 this afternoon, under mainly clear skies, winds out of the north, 8 to 15 miles an hour. 21 tonight, cloudy. High of 34 tomorrow. About an inch of snow Sunday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 21 degrees.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
bad girl. I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
My bad girl. I'm gonna make a mind if it takes all night.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Good evening, sweet darling. May I ask your name?
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to welcome my guest, Miss Lisa Schiller. She is with the Better, she's actually in public relations for the Better Business Bureau of Wisconsin. Good morning to you, Lisa. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. I'm great. Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you on the line. A lot of things to talk about. Let's talk a little bit about the Better Business Bureau first.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Better Business Bureau, I think a lot of people, you know, don't realize we're actually a nonprofit, non-governmental organization. We're committed to our mission to be a leader in advancing marketplace trust, and we work to create an ethical marketplace where buyers and sellers can trust each other. And we do that by calling out and addressing substandard business behavior like scams and fraud and misleading advertising. And then we commend good businesses as ethical and trustworthy through our BBB accreditation program and our Business Ethics Awards program. And our goal really is to help people and to expand the community of trust within the state of Wisconsin.
You know, I've been around a little while, and maybe I checked on the Better Business Bureau on a company maybe once, maybe twice, but nowhere near as much as we should. Today, I'm looking at this, and it says, your research says that more people 18 to 24 are being taken advantage of than in the much older segments of the population with scams. Let's talk a little bit about that. I'm surprised at that.
Yeah, Earl, everybody is. You know, because everybody always thinks that it's the senior citizens that are falling for all of the scams and losing all the money. This was our most recent study. Just came out last week, our press release about this. And people probably don't realize we do about, I would say about 4, 5, maybe 6 studies per year. And our studies are really interesting. You can find them all on our website, bbb.org. We've done studies on gift cards as payment, moving scam studies, employment scam studies, the timeshare and vacation industry. And I'm telling you, they're fascinating. So our newest study is showing that people ages 18 to 24 reported losing more money to scams than older groups. And we find this data through our fantastic online scam tracker tool. It's called BBB Scam Tracker. Anybody can report to it. We want to hear from people. So you just take time to report scams and fraud that maybe you encountered, that maybe a neighbor of yours or a relative encountered. You know, you can report for them as well. You can remain anonymous if you prefer, although there is a little box that says, you know, if you're willing to share this information with the media or law enforcement, that's really appreciated by me because, you know, when I see that, sometimes I'll call a reporter and go, you know, I'm starting to see an uptick in this particular scam reported. Let's do a story. Let's get the word out for others.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So could it be that the younger population is starting to be scammed more because of the internet, because of the technology and more companies that, you know, is kind of hard to track?
Absolutely. First of all, you know, we really saw the numbers changing little by little starting during COVID. So I would say in my experience during the whole COVID period, the whole pandemic, we started to see a lot of increases in scam reporting in general. We started to really take heed of that data and track it because, you know, so many more people were at home. They were isolated. They were lonely. And more people than ever were jumping online, you know, to purchase things and maybe to find romance, to get a puppy. A lot of people, you know, found puppies comforting during COVID. And in that time also, you know, people aged 18 to 24 were, of course, you know, online more than anybody, I would say, making purchases and trying to find employment. A lot of people lost their jobs during that time. They were, you know, creating new resumes, trying to prepare themselves for getting back into the workforce and that type of thing. And I also think it's also because, you know, these younger generations want everything instantaneously. I don't know that they know that the Better Business Bureau is there for them to check on companies for free, you know, that they have to do their research before making a decision, before taking a job, you know, before paying money, before doing, you know, online shopping. I don't know, you know, everybody wants everything instantaneously. And you know, my message is always, you really have to take a step back these days with anything, you know, before making a donation, before making a purchase. You got to take a step back. You got to do a few minutes of a little bit of research. And I don't know that these younger generations are really used to that yet, but we're hoping, you know, to get the word out to them and make them better consumers for the future.
So let me ask you, because we are right now in a cycle where Medicare and so, you know, Part B, C, and D of Medicare is upon us in open enrollment. And so people, elder people, are now at risk as they are being scammed. I'm one of the elders, being scammed left and right through Medicare fraud. And sometimes we wonder, I mean, the Better Business Bureau familiar with and on top of that as well?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things I talk about when I give presentations. So for anyone listening, you know, if you're part of a group, a church group, or you know, a community center, anything like that, you can contact the Better Business Bureau and request that someone, probably me, comes out and speaks to your group about all the common frauds that are going out right now, going on, and, you know, kind of do like a little bit of a, you know, an education. And a lot of people like to talk about their experiences. Medicare scams are one of the ones that we talk about, you know, with anybody over the age of the 55-ish. So we know that in regard to, first of all, in regard to Medicare, from October 15th to December 7th each year, Medicare has an open enrollment period. And that allows beneficiaries to evaluate their health care coverage and then make changes for the upcoming year. And unfortunately, this always means there's a spike in Medicare scams, because criminals like to exploit, you know, that public attention and target beneficiaries as well. You know, one thing we know and we always say is that scammers watch the news. They know what's going on. If there's a, you know, a hurricane or some type of, you know, weather tragedy going on, they know that. They're going to, you know, start making imposter calls, trying to pretend that they're with an organization maybe that is, you know, seeking donations to help these people. And so same with Medicare. You know, when it's an open enrollment, we see scams rise in regard to that. And, you know, imposter scams in general are huge. So we'll talk just a minute about Medicare. First of all, you know, how it works is you'll receive a call or a text or an email or, you know,
see it on television
from someone. Yeah, right. Exactly. Someone will be posing as a Medicare agent or insurance provider, and you may be urged to act quickly. You know, they'll say you could avoid losing your benefits if you know, act quickly. You may be pressured to purchase a limited time offer that they're offering that promises to save you thousands of dollars. They might entice you with a free gift, or you could be told that Medicare is issuing new cards and needs to verify your information. We see that reported a lot to our BBB scam tracker. And then they'll request sensitive information like your Medicare or your Social Security number, or even your bank or credit card information. And what we want people to know is that criminals will use caller ID to spoof the call to make it appear like it's coming from Medicare
yes.
or some other trusted source. So you can't trust that caller ID, unfortunately. And then also, we want people to know that scammers may sound professional. You know, they claim to represent Medicare. They might have some of your personal information to trick you into believing them, but in reality, you know, they're trying to just steal information and money from you.
Let me ask you, Lisa. The Medicare fraud part of this is very personal to me because the elders can't discern the difference. And so we've got a government that knows this is going on. Why can't this be fixed on the federal level where a lot of these companies that have come into existence, you know, that you think you can trust, they're also scamming the people. So how do you really know?
Yeah, that is a very good question. A very good question. I guess I can answer that by saying, you know, we have to remember that the vast majority of scams are being perpetrated from scammers that are located overseas. So they're hard to catch. You know, they might be using phone numbers that by the time we report those phone numbers or by the time a government agency is able to look into who's making those calls, those numbers are already gone and new ones are created.
Right.
So, you know, the Better Business Bureau takes the approach that, you know, if we can't stop the scammers necessarily, at least we can try to educate people to stay a step ahead because it's heartbreaking. It's and angering, you know, to hear when somebody has been taken advantage, especially, you know, our seniors, our older Americans who have worked all of their lives and you know, have their little nest eggs built up, you know, for anything, you know, that might come up in their life, like a medical emergency or something, and to see it, you know, robbed away and taken by, you know, ruthless scammers is just really heart-wrenching.
You know, I've been scammed, and so you may think, and it's easy, and people say, well, how did you get scammed? You should have known better. But as you stated, these people are in business. And so they're not just Tom, Dick, and Harry or Tom, Dick, and Mary. These are people who are pretty bright, many of them. And so they know exactly how to get around things and to take advantage of you.
Well, you couldn't be more correct, Earl, honestly. And you know what? I have been doing this for 20-some years between the Better Business Bureau and before that, I worked as an investigative producer for a local TV station. And I can tell you that I've been scammed as well. Crooks are professionals. Every detail of their fraud is carefully created by full-time professional fraudsters. They have scripted answers for any question that you might ask them. They tell people they must take action immediately. They're difficult to detect sometimes that they're actual fraudsters. You know, they are very good at what they do. And, you know, it's very, unfortunately, very easy to be taken advantage of. And it's happened to all of us.
So, Lisa, can you hang on a second? Lisa, can you hang on a second? You know, very important information on the other side. My guest is Lisa Schiller. She is with the Better Business Bureau. We'll be right back.
Oh, it's a groovy situation, a splendid combination that we should meet at a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't miss. Baby, baby, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination that we should meet at a time like a day. Oh, it's a groovy situation and a splendid combination. You're something that I just can't.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Box Mike. Friday nights at 7 on the Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show. Have a great Thanksgiving week. Back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My guest is Al Holmes, a founder of My Father's House and a wounded Vietnam veteran. You know, Al, Wounded Warriors Project is a prime example. Now they're talking about one for wounded women. The fact that, you know, veterans have to rely on the public and to once they get injured and wounded, to help them, it's really, you know, it's kind of ridiculous, you know.
Earl, when I was vice president of the Center for Veterans Issues, we did research on a number of policies of the government. One of them has to do with serving veterans, and the understand, as I said, there are 11 VA hospitals, and the Veterans Administration, most people do not realize, the two highest resource departments of our government, number one is the Department of Defense. They have the largest budget of any agency in our government. The second is the Veterans Administration. All of the research we did, I have never seen a document that says anyone has audited the United States Veterans Administration budget ever, which means that billions of dollars go into that budget, but nobody knows how they're spent. The majority of the people who run the Veterans Administration and its hospitals and other services are not veterans. So to me, this is my opinion, the VA and its budget is nothing but a slush fund for most of the politicians at the higher levels because they have access to that money. The point is, what are they doing with it? They're not serving the people who serve this country.
You know,
that's an opinion. That's my opinion.
Well, but you know, Al, it's based on factual information that you're not the only vet that I know and that I've talked to. I talked to many of them and many of them who, when people find out, for instance, you guys were exposed to Agent Orange and other
and
things.
And a whole lot of other
and, stuff. And other things and chemicals. And when you guys came back, many of you showed signs of being exposed to all those different chemicals. And when you attempted to fight it and say to our government, the very government that sent you to fight, the government said, oh, no, that didn't occur. You guys are making some of these things up. And so when you came back and as young as you guys were, that was the time. And that you guys certainly tried to sue the government. And as people tried to expose what took place, the government was strong enough to say, no, it's not true. It didn't happen. Well, after many of the veterans who came back died from cancer at those young ages, Al, and whose offspring were certainly born with all sorts of maladies, the government waited until guys were in their 60s to finally say, oh, well, by the way, we've done the research, and oh, by the way, yeah, we owe you something. And they started giving it to the guys in their 60s. As opposed
those,
to
they knew those people wasn't going to live long, so the resources were not going to be distributed to the degree that it's going to hurt their spending.
Al, is it true? What I just said, is it true?
Yes.
I know, and this is what the people are not aware of. I mean, it's one thing
they
to say, I love the flag.
All over the news.
They ignore
it because the government said it was a lie.
You know, it's one thing to say.
See, people, whatever comes out of Washington, D.C., out of the mouths of those people, people believe because they're the government. But these people lie more than anybody I ever known. And they want to get their way. And as I said, it's all about money. Why would you have the second largest unit of this United States government with the second largest budget that's never been audited and not be able to tell the public what they're doing with their money? This is public money. These are your tax dollars.
You know, when CJ calls here and wants to talk about 16, you know, soldiers who died in the evacuation of Afghanistan.
What about the 59,000?
You
died
just took
in
the words. My first cousin,
Johnny Blackman, got killed in Vietnam on May 3rd, 1967. And I helped bring his body back. And then I went back. The point is, why doesn't CJ talk about that?
Well, but he won't talk about the fact that they've got all of these guys right now who have been exposed to the tar pits in Iraq and the maladies that they are dealing with and their children and all those things right now. Right? So, because he doesn't understand that. And many other Americans don't understand that. And the fact is, our government has kind of been part of covering those things up. And so when we talk about sending young people off to war and the fight for so-called democracy, people need to understand the realities of what is going on when we send our young people off to fight all over the world.
Yes, that's true. But I want to point out one other thing, and that when I talked to you, I said that Miley can be recalled. I'm reading this out of the Department of Defense policy. Retired members of all branches of service of the armed forces who continue to receive pay are still part of the land and naval forces. A member of the Fleet Reserve who receives a retainer pay is subject to recall and is required to maintain military readiness and remains a member of the land and naval forces. This is, quote, out of the Department of Defense manual. So when, you know, Miley and all these other people who are retired and, you know, whatever, and as I told you earlier, there are troops, enlisted people, who, even though they got discharged, they are still able to be recalled up to age 45, hey, and they have to come ready to be able to go to war.
Hey, Al, we got to let it go. We got to leave it there, man. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it, man. We'll be in touch. We'll bring you back to spend some more time delving into it. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. Be right back.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News.